Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Please be welcome to Galp Energia's fourth quarter of 2015 results conference call and strategy execution update. I will now pass the floor to Mr. Pedro Dias, Head of Strategy and Investor Relations.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Galp's Q4 2015 results conference call. We are here today with our CEO, Carlos, who will start with our strategy execution update, and our CFO, Felipe, who will go over our fourth quarter results. At the end, we will be available for Q&A together with Torre, our Head of E&P. I would like to highlight that we may be making several forward-looking statements. Actual results may differ materially due to factors included on the disclaimer at the beginning of our presentation. I will now hand over to Carlos. Thank you.
Thank you, Pedro, and good morning to you all, and thank you for joining us today. I'm really pleased to be presenting a strong set of results. In such a challenging year for the industry, Galp was capable of delivering a solid performance. In this last quarter, our production increased, and integrated portfolio allowed us to deliver an EBITDA of 309 million euros, despite the sharp fall in the oil prices. This was possible due to the contribution of our downstream and gas activities, the flawless execution of our main upstream projects, and as well as of the efficiency improvements. Our 2015 performance on a replacement cost basis exceeded the guidance provided during the March 2015 Capital Markets Day. We did pursue the path that we had defined, focusing on execution and optimization. I emphasize that, execution and optimization. At the end of the day, we were able to deliver more and spending less. We achieved a 50% production growth during the year, with reservoir performance delivering ahead of expectations in Brazil. We were able to maintain a high availability of our refining system, allowing us to take advantage from the strong market conditions. In the gas and power, our ability to size market opportunities and as well as managing our gas sourcing led us to achieve solid results in this business as well. All in all, we were able to capitalize on our integrated business model, achieving an EBITDA over 1.5 billion euros during the year, while keeping CapEx below the lower end of our guidance range. The volatility that marked 2015 affected both oil prices and refining margins. We will be updating our macro assumptions during our upcoming Capital Markets Day, but I can advance that we remain quite conservative, both on oil prices and on refining margins. Low oil prices, together with an economic recovery, contributed to the Iberian oil demand recovery of around 2%, supporting our marketing activity. The natural gas market benefited from higher demand from the electrical segment, leading to a 6% annual growth. Moving on the exploration and production activity, I draw your attention to the slide number six. Lula and Iracema remain the benchmark in terms of execution pace. Our third unit, Cidade Mangaratiba, reached the plateau in November with the connection of the fifth producer well just 13 months after startup. Better than what we had assumed and guided to you. This is also true for the production unit number four, Cidade Itaguaí. The unit achieved a production of around 90,000 bbl of oil equivalent per day during the first quarter with only three producer wells. We now expect to connect the fourth producer during the first quarter of 2016. This means that we could possibly reach full capacity ahead of the 18 months we have initially planned. This is the learning path that we are getting. We are also starting this year on track. The production unit number 5, Cidade de Maricá, has its first producer well connected in the Lula Alto area and actually commenced its production producer procedures during the last weekend. The unit has a total installed capacity of 150,000 barrels of oil equivalent, and we estimate to achieve high productivity from this first producer well in line with what we have seen in the other areas of Lula field. It is expected that this unit will reach full capacity during 2017. As for the upcoming unit, the production unit number 6, called Cidade de Saquarema, allocated to Lula Central area, it is undergoing final integration work at the Brasa shipyard in Brazil. We were expecting this unit to start production anticipated, as we have anticipated, by the mid of this year. I would also to acknowledge that the tremendous work that our team has done during the past year on this project, with a special word of appreciation to our good partner Petrobras, head operator of the highly complex and remarkable project. From the highly effective reservoir management that allowed the unit number 1 and number 2 to keep producing at plateau levels, to the full ramp-up of the production unit number 3, and the fast connection of the 3 wells in the first unit, all these leading to a very strong production rate. Now on slide number 9, I'm looking at our other projects in Brazil. Starting with Carcarai in BMS 8. After the confirmation of the Carcarai extension, the consortium concluded the drill stem test in Carcará North, confirming the high quality and excellent levels of productivity. In fact, we estimate that productivity in the area should be similar to some of the best in the pre-salt. On BMS 24, we have submitted in November the declaration of commerciality for Sepia East. As announced before, Sepia East is the extension of Sepia discovery into the BMS 24 area, and we believe the reservoir to be of good quality. Meanwhile, the unitization process regarding Sepia and Sepia East areas has already begun. Still in Brazil, but further north, in the Potiguar offshore basin, we conclude the P2 North well with results proving the extension of the P2 discovery. So a successful de-risking appraisal campaign throughout all the year 2015. Turning to slide number 10 and focusing in our African project. In Angola, the fourth quarter saw the start of production in Lianzi in block 14K through a tieback to BBLT that was performed earlier in the year. Although a small contributor to the group's production, this field allows us to partially mitigate the natural decline in production of block 14. In block 32, the development drilling campaign has started. The FPSO allocated to this project are currently in Singapore to conversion work in order to start production in 2017 and 2018. We are working hard to make this project as lean as possible, focusing on cost reduction measures and fiscal term financing. Going to Mozambique and to the Area 4 Consortium, We see that we continue to negotiate the first stages of development on large discoveries of the Rabuvan Basin. During the quarter, Area 4 and Area 1 concluded the unitization agreement of the Mamba Prosperidad field, which is most encouraging for the project going forward. As for Coral, the Area 4 consortium keeps working hard to develop a floating solution that is economically competitive. Under the current environment, there are challenges, but also opportunities to be considered. And that is why we need to continue to work in this direction, even if it takes more time. Moving to the downstream gas and business, and downstream and gas business, and it is, I'm speaking in slide number 11. Strong refining margins supported this business during 2015. Also, the first Q was weaker Q-on-Q and year-on-year. Overall, we were able to keep it alive on the good market conditions because our refining system flexibility, conversion capacity, and the high availability of our refineries throughout the whole year. In gas and power, despite fewer trading opportunities, we accomplished a steady performance not only through the LNG contract previously established in our structured contract, but also through our ability to find new market opportunities, such as trading in European hubs, and always keeping an eye on how to optimize gas sourcing opportunities. Philip will now go over the financial overview. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos, and good morning to you all. As usual, I will start with the P&L on page 13. This last quarter, group EBITDA was 309 million euros, down 22% year on year. And this reduction is driven by all the business. 2015 was a good year overall for GALP. But these are challenging times for our industry, even considering the natural stabilizers within our portfolio. E&P EBITDA was down to 53 million euros as the higher volumes were unable to offset the effect of much lower prices. Refining and marketing still managed to deliver good results with 166 million euros in EBITDA. The 13% EBITDA decrease was driven by the lower realized refining margin and the less favorable time lag in 2015. Gas and power delivered an EBITDA of 88 million euros, with natural gas and infrastructure activities performing steadily, plus some good sourcing optimization opportunities. The power activity, however, was impacted by suboptimal utilization of our Porto refinery cogeneration unit. Group EBIT was down 30% to 180 million euros. Below the EBIT line, the improvement in financial results was mostly driven by positive mark-to-market results in financial hedges, which had been negative in Q4 2014. We also have a higher amount of capitalized interest in 15 versus 2014. Net income was 149 million euros on a RCA basis. Now, under IFRS, the bottom line was only 6 million euros, impacted by a negative inventory effect of 88 million in the quarter and non-recurring items of 55 million mostly related to E&P impairments in Angola and Brazil. As for CapEx, on the next slide, it reached 431 million euros during the quarter. E&P accounted for the bulk of this and mostly allocated to the construction of FPSOs, drilling of development wells, and subsea systems in Lula and Iracema. The remaining CapEx was mostly allocated to development activities in Block 32 in Angola. On slide 15, you have our summary balance sheet, where you can see how we benefit from lower working capital levels. Lower commodity prices reduce the capital that we have tied up in inventories and client receivables. On the other hand, declining commodity prices significantly penalize our organic cash flow generation. As you know, we sell products today processed with more expensive raw materials acquired quite a few weeks before. Net debt at year-end was 2.4 billion euros, which, considering the outstanding loan to Sinopec cash equivalent, takes us to 1.2 times net debt to EBITDA. This is well below our 2 times self-imposed commitment, which we reaffirm. Our liquidity remains high at 3 billion euros, of which cash of over 1.1 billion and drawn credit lines of another 1.1 billion euros and the cash loan to Sinopec of just over 700 million euros. We are now happy to take your questions. Thank you.
If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Please limit your questions to 2 per person. Again, please press star 1 now. We will now take our first question from Haytham Rashid from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for the presentation. 2 questions from my side, please. Firstly, I appreciate you have your capital markets day on the 15th of March, and so I'm sure you probably don't want to give too much in terms of guidance at the moment, but could you give us a sense at least of flexibility you have around your CapEx spend? And in particular, what I'm thinking of is in the start of the year, you're obviously going to be starting up 2 FPSOs in Brazil. Is it fair to assume, therefore, that beyond the first half of this year, the flexibility around your spending actually goes up quite substantially? Is there any way you could perhaps quantify that, sort of how much lower below the 1.2 to 1.4 you could go to with that flexibility? My second question is just regarding your realizations for the quarter. It looked like the realized price you achieved for oil and gas together was quite low relative to what you've done historically. The discount so it seems to be relatively high in the upstream. Just wondered if there was anything driving that. Thank you.
Hi, good morning, Haytham, and thank you for your 2 questions. So you're right. So we will give you a guidance in the capital markets day that is coming. But just to give you a color on our CapEx flexibility, just to tell you that the projects that we are taking in our hands are still to move forward. We are getting efficiency and optimization on the learning curve that we are getting from the existing projects, and you can see that the drilling times, the profitability and efficiency of each well is increasing and is giving us room space for optimizing our CapEx, but we will give you a color on that in the capital markets day. In what concerns the realization price in the fourth Q, has to do with an under-listing adjustment. What happened is that when we schedule the cargoes across the year, we have considered the cargoes for the third Q, and since the prices were down in the fourth Q, we have to then the proper readjustment in the listings that we have done. So it's I would say it's a compensation in two quarters, but year on year, there's no questions to put on that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
The next question comes from Oswald Clint from Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. Could I ask a question about refining, first of all, and maybe obviously a good performance last year from that business. As we think about this year, with some of your comments on high distillate inventories and obviously there's high gasoline inventories over in the U.S. where you sell some of your gasoline, maybe just talk about those two dynamics when it comes to the kind of outlook for your refining business as we go into 2016, please. And then secondly, yeah, maybe just going back to obviously January Petrobras's CapEx reduction, it was quite a short update, but if there's anything there that might impact Galp's kind of development progress through the next year or so, it would be interesting just to give us an update on that, please. Thank you.
I would say that in what relates to the refining margin, we still have the United States gasoline market as a demanding market, even though the stocks are remaining high, and paying premiums comparing with European markets. So we still see a strong gasoline demand for the coming times. Nevertheless, as I mentioned during my first intervention, we are being conservative in what relates to the refining margins, and therefore we will see, because the market will have to absorb the extra capacity and the extra storage that we have in the middle distillates. We should also, and we can give you a color on what we have done in terms of hedging our refining margins. So as we have done in 2015, and considering that 2016 will be still a tough year for us, we have also decided to hedge part of our throughput. And what we have done is in line with what has been done in 2016. So approximately 30% of our throughput for the year is already hedged with about $3.5 per barrel of refining margin. Benchmark, I must clarify. Going to your second question, so CapEx reduction announced by Petrobras. What do we have to say? We will go more in deep in the capital markets, say, project by project and unit by unit. So we will have time to share with you our view. But overall, what we can say is that the more important projects that Petrobras is involved are still the priority projects where Galp is involved. And therefore, we are not anticipating major changes. By the opposite, still keeping the focus. You know that we have a program of putting additional production units working in the next 3-4 years, and the timetable still remains the same. We can and we will deepening the process, but as an overall picture, keep the track and the focusing, and nothing that we anticipate that is affecting our CapEx or our project. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Next question comes from Brendan Warren from BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks, gentlemen. Just a clarification question, just follow up in terms of what Oswald just asked about hedging. Can you just clarify, have you implemented any further hedging in terms of refining margin than what you discussed on the third quarter call? And then just in terms of my second follow-up question relating to refining, obviously had high throughput, good availability in 2015. Can you talk about any expected planned maintenance or impacts going through 2016, please?
So the hedging that we have put in force is for the refining margin, this benchmark hedging, and is taking in consideration the plans, including the outages or the shutdowns for maintenance that we will have during the year. So when I mean that is approximately 30% in the all here, is roughly about 30 million barrels that have been hedged for 2016. And that takes in consideration what we have addressed in your second question. So generally, we have an outage, so a shutdown for maintenance recovery and changing the catalyst in the hydrocracker unit that was planned, so it's in course. We are executing that shutdown. It's just starting in 23rd of January, and it will take 55 days. We still have a shutdown in Matosinhos refinery in the vacuum visbreaking breaking unit that will take approximately 40-45 days. And by the end of the day, we have to decoking in the first queue. The vacuum is breaking in since refinery. But all in all, that is previewed and planned in our operations, and we have taken the hedging decisions based on the annual throughput that we have forecasted. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
The next question comes from Felipe Rosa from Haitong. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. So my first one relates to the new taxes that have been imposed in the Rio de Janeiro state. Could you update us on what will be your strategy to try to avoid paying those taxes? When could we have some news flow on the legal steps you are taking to avoid those taxes? The second question relates to asset optimization. Taking consideration the short-term outlook for your price, there could be some opportunities for you to invest some money. Could you give us an idea whether are you willing to sell, for instance, the regulated natural gas assets in Portugal to increase your exposure to upstream? And in case you are, what would be your preferred countries to invest? Would you prefer to invest more money in Brazil, or would you looking for other alternatives outside Brazil? Thank you very much.
Good morning, Philippe, and thank you for your question. So the taxes that you were referring related with the Rio de Janeiro state, as you know, as you may are aware, it's a repetition of what happened in the early in 2000, so in 2003 or so. So the law that has been designed is clearly against the Brazilian tax framework. And what we are doing is working together with the oil and gas industry in Brazil and supporting the strategy that is being addressed by IBP, so the union, so the association of the industry. And but that doesn't mean that individually GALP will not take actions to protect lawful lease rights. So we are working in both lines, so together with the industry and also together and independently. But I would like to emphasize that this is a repeated action of Rio de Janeiro that is against the Brazilian tax framework. And we are seeing that the Brazilian Union, and Brazilian as a country, is sending positive message in the other hand that has to do with the industry and the support to the oil and gas industry. I give you the examples of the extension of the existing licenses that were awarded up to the 10 bid round, so those that have been awarded up to 2008, and as well the local content and the unitization rule simplification. So there's a lot of other positive measures that have been done through the deal. Nevertheless, is an issue that we consider as a very low probability of success, but very high risk, and therefore we keep it in our hands very seriously, even though we are taking that in the framework that I've explained to you. So I prefer not to elaborate more. I think we are in early stage, and it's something that that should be addressed in the future. In what related to the asset optimization, what I can tell to you is that we are always screening the opportunities that we can review our asset portfolio in order to create and to frozen value. So we keep that in our decision-making process. We have nothing for the time being decided, but we are working, looking to the market, and see where we can get more value. There's independent assets with that could be very interesting for the company, but our focus primarily should be execution. And I will repeatedly tell this to you and to our my colleagues inside of the company. So the first step that we have to do is execution. The second is extracting more value, but keeping the eye on the opportunities in the market. And we are just looking. We can give a more color on that in the capital market today if it will be the case. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Thomas Adel from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. A few questions on Brazil, please. Just on the third FPSO, you've reached plateau production in 13 months only versus your 18-month target. Perhaps if you can talk about which parts have actually contributed to the faster ramp-up of your budget, and I'm sure there are quite a few things like better flow rate, therefore fuel well, availability of PLSVs, etc. The second question is, kind of going back to the point you made on the contract or the license duration, and Braga actually made a few proposals, which all of them sound quite positive. You've mentioned the license extension. Braga talked about royalties as well as local content. Whilst maybe the latter two, royalties and local content, may take time to agree on, Can you just confirm whether the license extension part is actually now law and you got an extension beyond the 27-year production license on the same terms? And maybe if Paul can talk about potential risks or delays to the unitization and the greater Yara, that would be also helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. Since they are technical issues, I think, and we have Tor, I will give the ground to Tor to share with you our thoughts in relation to the topic, to the issues that we have addressed. Thank you.
Good morning, Thomas, and good morning to all of you. Thank you for the questions. First of all, with respect to FPSO number three, or FPSO Mangretiba, I would say there's two chief reasons for the faster ramp up that what we had anticipated. First and foremost, the Aracima reservoir is performing better than we had dared to participate and anticipate. We are seeing average flow rates of around 30,000 barrels per day, and that is outstripping our initial expectations. This is actually the best part that we have seen so far of the Lula Aracima area. That's number one. And number two, we have worked very steadily with the operator over several years in order to make sure that we have always sufficient well capacity available. That has been the case in the case of Mangretiba. And I would also say now that the hookup and completion and commissioning of new wells is going faster than anticipated. We are benefiting from the learning curves, and the times of hooking up wells are going better. So these three factors, better reservoir, good well inventory, and fast lookup times are contributing to the fact that we were able to reach full capacity within 13 months. When it comes to the issue of the greater Yara area and the unitization, I don't think that I want to anticipate anything there right now. Unitization processes are an important part of how business is being conducted in Brazil right now. As you will are aware of, we have submitted together with the operator the unitization for the Lula field. That was submitted to ANP in August. We are still awaiting the feedback and the conclusion of that unification process, and it's a bit out of our hands right now where that will come. The second important unification process that we're working with right now is for the Sepia team, where we are in the midst of where we delivered the DOC in November last year. And now we are negotiating the unification of the Sepia with the Sepia left field, and that is the next one that I am interested in.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Anish Kapadia from TPH. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Just have a couple of questions. We've seen a decent amount of cost deflation coming through in the wider market, and I think also in Brazil you should be benefiting from the weaker real. I was wondering if you could give some sense of maybe what you're seeing in terms of where well costs are for 2016 to, say, drill and drill and complete a pre-salt well versus where they were in 15 and 14, just to kind of see what the progression is there, both from the cost side and the increased efficiency. And then the second question was just to try and get somewhat of an update on Mozambique and timing of potential FID decisions over there, both for the floating LNG scheme and also the onshore. It feels like there's been some delay to the floating LNG FID date. Is that something that you're still kind of keen to go ahead with in the current environment? Thank you.
Thank you, Amish, and good morning to you. So, in what relates to the Brazilian weak real, so you know that we have part of our investment is in local content, and that is bringing us a much lower cost in terms of dollars base, and has improved the capex spending that we have in Brazil. On top of that, and following what my colleague Tor has mentioned to you, one of the key issues for optimizing our CapEx is precisely due to the fact that we have a drilling period that is improving with the learning curve. We have approximately reduced 20% during the last year, and that is impacting very positively in our account. So it's efficiency-wise, it's one of the issues that we should address. I will also, if you allow me, I will also take the opportunity to address the question that has been previously addressed by Anish, Devai Thomas, sorry, related to the license extension in Brazil. It is something that is in our early stage. It will take in consideration not only the royalties, but also the tax framework, and I think it is positive in the sense that what we are reading from the Brazilian authorities, they are really committed to maximize the existing infrastructure that is being developed. So therefore, to maximize that means that if we will get more time for using the same infrastructure, that could bring more value for all the parties. We cannot, for the time being, assume any kind of terms and conditions because it's just a,
a beginning, and therefore we will take time, but the positive sign of that is what I can emphasize as the contra action that we are realized from the Rio de Janeiro state. So I think when speaking about the complexity of Brazil, we should see not only the negative part, but also what is the positive flow news that are coming to the surface. Going back to Mozambique, in fact, in relation to Mozambique, we are very focusing on getting a profitable solution. So we didn't get yet any decision of investment because the profitability is still being stressed. Under the present market circumstances, we need to be careful on this decision, and I would say that we will get more detail and more color in the capital market today, since we are having some actions on this issue. But this is something that that our team is working hard and together with the operator in order to get a profitable solution. Thank you.
The next question comes from Hamish Clegg from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Two questions from me. First of all, just on your financial items, do you mind giving us a little bit more color in terms of what really drove that? And is there a risk that we see that reverse going forwards? How much of that is currency? And the second question was regarding volumes. You very kindly gave us some guidance on the 2015 exit rate volumes of close to 60,000 barrels a day working interest. Could you give us an update on where you are in January, what the current output is, potentially either just today or the average of the month?
Thank you, Amish. And good morning to you also. So I will take the second question and I'll ask to Philip to go to the financial one. So in what relates to the volumes, so we really have overpassed the 50 and we have also almost touched the 60,000 barrels a day. Nevertheless, you should take in consideration there are some maintenance works that are to be done and there are also unitization processes that are undergoing, like TOR were mentioned to you, and therefore I think it is early to have an average volume for the year end. I would say that we are progressing positively. The commencement of the initial procedures for starting the production in the fifth unit, it's really a positive contribution, and the outstanding productivity per well that we are getting from every single production unit is important. It's also important to emphasize that units 1 and 2, so Cidade Angra dos Reis and Cidade Paraty, they are stable and they are at plateau production. And therefore, I think all in all, we have to take care on the volumes that we will have for the year end. We will give you a guidance in the capital markets day for the year end. I think it's preferable that we take that all together and as a whole in order to explain comprehensively where we will be. We think we will be by the year end. So I now will pass to Philip.
Just before you pass it on, one thing just on unitization that we've discussed before. Can you confirm if that's agreed it'll be a cash positive to the company, an agreement on utilization?
Sorry, my microphone was down. You're referring about the unitization process. So what we know that there are already some production that has been sold by FAS and there's CAPEX that we have invested. So all in all, we have to take that in consideration and is a is a negotiation that is undergoing, and I prefer not to make additional comments on that.
Okay.
Hamish, on financials, you ask whether we should expect any reversal. So the big swing factor was the mark-to-market of our hedges around, mostly around refining. 2015, much better than the previous year. We are not rejoicing because, as Carlos mentioned, we have 30% hedged. When we make money on the mark-to-market of the refining hedges, means that the cash refinings on the other 70%, meaning that refining margins are down. So that's really the implication. So when you have 30% hedged, currently the financial hedges are close to at the money, and at the end of 14, they were well out of the money. Other than those hedges, the swing that you'll see this year is that we have more capitalized interest, but for that, I will really guide you to look at our cash flow statement. So the total amount of interest that we pay is down because our cost of funding is coming down. On the P&L, given that we have close to 2 billion euros of work in progress, we need to capitalize the interest associated to that. But that's just a P&L entry, non-cash. Thank you.
Got it. Thanks, guys.
Next question comes from Mehdi Ennebati from Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, gents, and thanks for taking my question. So two questions. The first one, just a follow-up one on the maintenance at the refinery that you will make in 2016. Can you please guide us on the utilization rate? I remember that in 2014, you've had, you know, a year where you made quite a lot of maintenance, and the utilization rate was relatively low. I mean, for the total group, it was close to 60%. I just wanted to know if we could have that kind of level in Q1 2016. And second question, a follow-up one as well on unitization. We presume, or I presume, that you need to receive money from Petrobras, post-utilization of Lula, which in my view, and correct me if I'm wrong, should be announced in April, March, April, or May. Given Petrobras' financial situation, which looks extremely complicated, as they have to sell up to $15 billion of assets in 2016, are you confident in the fact that you will receive a check from Petrobras when the utilization will be finalized in the next couple of months? Thank you.
Good morning, Mehdi, and thank you for your two questions. So, in what related to the first one, and that's to do with refining utilization, one could say that refer to the atmospheric distillation unit, that should be working on the year long. So what I have shared to you all is that we will take the conversion unit of hydrocracker that will be shut down by about 55 days. But we're still having our conversion unit for gasoline that is properly working. So our refining system during these 55 days were mostly oriented for conversion as a gasoline oriented. Once the hydrocracker will be put in on working again, we will have the maximum conversion either in gasoline and also in diesel. But distillation unit-wise, we have everything that is working all year round all year, and I think we can give you a more detailed guidance in the capital markets day in order to let you to better deepening this. In what related to Brazil, so I already share with you the priorities that Petrobras and Brazil has in relation to developing those pre-salt basin projects were mainly where Galp is participating, and mainly in Lula, Iracema, and the Yara fields. They are the ones that are at the most important level of reference. Therefore, for those we are confident they will keep the move, they will keep the path. We have the production units they are already awarded, and the drilling program is in force. And as Torres explained to you, the drilling, the wells drilling, as more of the most of the time are anticipated in order to guarantee that it is not to due the lack of wells that we will not optimize our operations, and therefore we keep them there. Of course, there are other projects that we are keeping our focus, including Carcará and Sepia, but we can deep dive on those in capital marketplace. But we are keen enough on treating and focusing on them, because the results that we are getting from the appraisal, the appraising campaigns, are quite positive. And therefore, I think the word of confidence, I would say that we can underline and accept that as a given. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Lydia Rainford from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Thanks, and good afternoon. I have two hopefully relatively quick questions, if I could, please. First one, going back to Angola, I'm just interested in what you were saying about the fiscal renegotiations there. Can you just talk us through what exactly is happening there and sort of what the ultimate aim from a Galp and operator side would be on that? And then second, I suspect this might be something we come back to at the Capital Markets Day, but just on the production cost and amortization numbers in the upstream on a per barrel basis, so just lots of different moving parts throughout the year, but as we go into 2016, would you expect those to be lower year on year? Thank you.
Hi, Lydia, good morning, and thank you for your question. So in what relates to Angola and the fiscal and the tax renegotiations, so these were basic addressed to the BMS 32, so it was the Kawombo project, as you are aware. Under the present oil market conditions, the projects were under stress, and therefore we were discussing how we can move forward with the present tax framework. Discussion has been taken, and what we have got in broad sense, it was that for lower levels of profitability and under lower oil Brent prices, the cost oil that could be considered has increased, and therefore, well, rebalanced the profit share between the JV and the government. So therefore, I think it is the way that we have been capable to rebalance this project, which is a flag project for Angola for the time being. It's the most important project that is being implemented in Brazil. So now, with higher cost oil, we will have a high entitlement at a lower price. We have, so this is the consequence of the renegotiation. In relation to the guidance that you have mentioned, I think we will have to do it in the capital markets way. We will deepen a little more that in the next month. I think we will answer to your question. Thank you.
Perfect. It was worth a try. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Matt Lofting from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Well, two quick questions left, if I could. Firstly, just on the tax rate, I think the rate sort of moved progressively lower through 2015, partly the mix effect, I assume, as the contribution from E&P's moved lower. I just wonder on your existing assumptions where you see the average tax rate for 2016 compared to 2015 levels as the sort of production levels in the upstream continue to work higher. And then second, just on dividends, as I recall, your sort of five-year dividend policy expires in 2016. In terms of thinking about the dividend framework beyond this year, is that something that you intend to update on with the Capital Markets Day next month, or something that you perhaps defer until you get a bit closer to 2017? Thanks.
Good morning, Matt. Thank you for your two questions. I will pass to Philippe to deepening the questions of the taxes, even though you have already anticipated that with lower oil prices, the oil taxes are lower, and of course we have also to see downstream activities. But Philippe will deepening get more color on that. In what related to dividends, we have a policy that is in force. We have been increasing by 20% per year our dividends. That will be enforced up to 2016. I will not address anything additional on that. We are evaluating, and you know that we have 2016 as a very challenging year. And therefore, any dividend policy that has been touched will impact also 2016 and 2017. But we are considering all the alternatives and seeing how to proceed. Nevertheless, 2016, we have that. And, of course, for our going forward analysis, we have adopted a main assumption that we will share with you in the capital market space. Thank you.
Matt, I don't have a clear answer for you on tax rates. It clearly depends on Brent levels. And now, given where we are, and you've seen our Q4 numbers, our EBIT in E&P is close to zero. So it's anyone's guess. I would like to guide you to the 30s, but this, I could be completely wrong depending on how oil prices move over the next few quarters. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
The next question comes from Andre Patrico from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, everyone. Just one quick question for me on EMP and on Carcara. Pulling the positive appraisal result, can you say more about the resource potential of the field and estimated start date? And if not, is that something you expect to be in a position to do at the capital market? Thank you.
Good morning, Henry. In fact, we will give you that information in Capital Markets Day. So we are getting more evaluation, and we will see what we can share with you in CMD. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Bruno Silva from BPI. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. I apologize if my questions were already answered, but I was disconnected for a while. First of all, you have mentioned more than once today and in previous instances about the progress that you and your partners have achieved in terms of cost cutting, efficiency, and so on. So the question is really, if you could please elaborate on what would be a good reference today for the break-even prices on BMS 8 and 24 and Mozambique separately, please. The second question is a follow-up of some of the previous questions. regarding in particular to how you see, and if you could give us some hints about how you look at the trade-off between dividends and balance sheet management on one side and the potential sale of assets on the other side, particularly those assets that are more mature and have lower sensitive to oil and gas prices. Thank you very much.
So, good morning, Bruno. I will take the second part, and I'll let to Tor to take the first one. So, dividends-wise and the portfolio active management is something that we are keeping. So, from dividends, I have already shared with you. So, we have a dividend policy that is in force, and it remains as it is. In 2016, we keep the growing of the 20%, and we will give more flavor on this in the capital markets day. But considering the challenging year that we will have ahead, I think it is prudent to not deepening on the issue. In order to, in relation to the assets that are more mature and that could be recycled, if I can say like that, we are always scrutinizing and screening opportunities for doing that. Even though we have a strong balance sheet that puts us in a good position to facing the challenges and the projects that we have, so it's not in a basis that we need to. It's all in a basis that if it could create value too. But it's something that it's nothing that we have decided or considering in the present time. So I will now pass to Tor. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruno. Cost cutting, CapEx reduction is really a key focus on what we're doing, and where we're putting the key emphasis on that right now is with respect to BMS 11 in particular, which is the chief contributor to Gulf's production right now, and where the focus is to continue to bring costs down so that we improve the robustness. As we have communicated to you before, we have a break-even price on BMS 11 that is below $35 a barrel, and we continue to improve the robustness. Drilling and completion, we have reduced from last, in 2014, we used 135 days to drill and complete the well. We are now down to 110 days. And that, in addition to that, we see rig rates coming down, is of course contributing to improvements. When it comes to new projects, and as Carlos mentioned also in Angola, that's what happens in Angola. We're looking for opportunities to reduce costs, and in addition, we also see that we are receiving contributions from the government with improved fiscal terms. With respect to BMS 8, 24 and Mozambique, it will not be correct for us to communicate anything in that respect. We have, for the time being, not taken any final investment decision on these projects. We are working very hard to find prices for these projects, having hard terms with the partnership. And only when we arrive to an FID-able project in the Mayan Gulf report.
And today's final question comes from Jason Kenney from Santander. Please go ahead.
Well, hi there. Thanks very much for taking a question. I'm going to have another go at the tax rate if possible. I appreciate your guidance could be completely wrong, as you mentioned earlier, depending on where Brent actually moves, but I'm sure you've had a look at what the tax rate could be if oil prices were at certain levels. So what if oil was at 40 and refining was flat year on year? Any indication of where tax could be?
Jason, you'll need to wait 3 weeks for CMD, and based on our Brent assumptions, we'll give you the tax rates. It's likely that we'll give you different assumptions and different stress scenarios, so you'll need to wait for that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for assisting and for being present in our call of today. And I will now would like to share with you just a final thought that has to do with the present market circumstances.
You know, please help.
You know that this industry is going through a challenging cycle, and the companies has to adapt to this new environment. And reducing its cost base and becoming more efficient, adopting more rigorous investment criteria are requirements that will be needed. And this is exactly what we have been done during the 2015, and we will continue to do in the coming times. We have been steering our company with a clear focus on the execution of our projects and on extracting more value from our mature business and aiming to achieve higher efficiency in our day-to-day operations. And for that purpose, we have our teams working very closely with our key partners everywhere, in Brazil and also in Africa, in Angola, in Mozambique, and in Iberia. 2015 has shown that Galp's performance was one of the best in the industry. And let me tell you that this is the best I can say to my colleagues that made these results possible. And I'm happy to be part of such motivated company. So this is where we stand and what we are today. And I will be pleased to take through our strategy and giving you an update of our project in the CMD that we will take place in London in the next March 15. We will have our management team thrilled to share with you how Galp will continue to create energy. And I hope to see you all there. And thank you for attending to this session. See you in the Capital Markets Day in London. And good morning.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.